So this question, very straightforward, but I'm going to discuss it for the sake of its high yieldness, okay? So you need to know that increased fluid status would cause a downregulation of the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system. And in turn, if in this case the patient received more fluid than she should have, then she would have a downregulation of angiotensin II. Makes sense. But I'll give you a little bit of value. I could talk about renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system for 3 hours, okay? But I think just to give you some concise value, you need to be aware of some basic effects of angiotensin II that are asked on the USMLE, and in addition to some electrolyte disturbance that you see with aldosterone. Now, angiotensin II, as we said, the levels would be increased in response to low blood volume, okay, or decreased in response to high blood volume. So, if our fluid status is low and angiotensin II goes up, angiotensin II is a potent vasoconstrictor, binds to peripheral arterioles at AT2 receptors, increases systemic vascular resistance, which makes sense because this will increase our blood pressure when our fluid status is lower. Angiotensin II will also constrict the efferent arterioles leaving the kidney, which will serve to increase filtration fraction and maintain GFR in the setting of decreased renal perfusion. And angiotensin II will also go to the zona glomerulosa, the superficial layer of the adrenal cortex, where it upregulates aldosterone synthase, converting corticosterone into aldosterone. Okay? And angiotensin II can also increase sodium retention by the proximal convoluted tubule of the kidney. Lots we can talk about. Angiotensin II does have other effects, but those are the highest yield ones you need to know. Now, aldosterone is going to go to the cortical collecting duct of the kidney, where it's going to increase sodium retention. Water follows sodium. That will increase our plasma volume. And we're also going to get a secretion into the urine of potassium and protons. Okay, so if we have decreased plasma volume and RAS is kicked up, we'd get more aldosterone, and that will in turn cause increased fluid retention by the kidney, and our sodium levels go up, potassium levels go down, and our bicarb would go up, and our pH would go up. We tend to see these electrolyte slash biochemical disturbances in settings of Kahn syndrome, which is an aldosterone-secreting tumor, or fibromuscular dysplasia or renal artery stenosis, which cause decreased renal plasma flow. And then we can see the opposite biochemical effects with Addison disease, the major cause, which is primary adrenal insufficiency, one of the causes of low aldosterone. And if we had low aldosterone, we would have low serum sodium, high serum potassium. We would have a low serum bicarb and a low serum pH. Once again, I could chat about all this stuff for 3 hours, but I think those are some very basic effects. Just knowing that angiotensin II is a potent vasoconstrictor, it'll cause increased systemic vascular resistance. It's also going to constrict the efferent arterioles to maintain GFR in the setting of low renal perfusion, and also it'll upregulate aldosterone synthase in the adrenal cortex. Okay? Now, if we look at some of the other answer choices like atrial natriuretic peptide, that would be increased in response to increased plasma volume, not decreased. ANP is a natural diuretic. It's secreted by atrial fibers in response to increased stretch, and it functions to decrease sodium retention by the kidney. Okay, so it counteracts the effects of aldosterone. If aldosterone gets too high, and we have increased atrial stretch due to increased plasma volume, ANP goes up. And the ANP will serve to cap off the amount of sodium that can be reabsorbed by the kidney. So ANP is the hormone that's responsible for what's referred to as aldosterone escape, okay? Which is just we don't run into a never-ending tailspin of high aldosterone causing forever increasing sodium levels. ANP can help cap off the amount of sodium and plasma volume we're retaining. So, Carbonic anhydrase, just a poor distractor here. You could know somewhat tangentially that acetazolamide is a carbonic anhydrase inhibitor, can be used as a diuretic. It acts in the proximal convoluted tubule, and it will function to cause proton retention and bicarb secretion. So essentially forcing a metabolic acidosis in the setting of altitude sickness, where you get an acute respiratory alkalosis. So if you get an acute respiratory alkalosis, you can give acetazolamide to retain protons to counterbalance that in the first day you go to Colorado, let's say. I don't want to go off on too many rabbit holes with that. And then erythropoietin, that would be increased in response to decreased plasma volume, not increased. Okay, so erythropoietin, it's secreted more chronically rather than acutely. But if you were to have anemia, you could expect an increase in EPO as a result of trying to increase RBC production. EPO can also be elevated in secondary polycythemia due to COPD and low oxygen in the blood. EPO can also be increased in renal cell carcinoma as a paraneoplastic syndrome. It should be noted that EPO is decreased in polycythemia rubra, which is a primary bone marrow overproduction problem due to JAK2 mutation. Thyroid stimulating hormone, not related here. So that's it.